said, I don't judge the heart of the authors. I do try to judge, like we all should, the scriptural accuracy of their writings, because the greatest book of all is the Bible. How many know that? That's the great book. And it is the book by which we judge all other books. And the greatest person, of course, is God. He's the only holy one. We judge everyone else by what he has said. The Bible said, let God be true and every man become the liar. And that even means our people that we may love and respect, when they get off course, we need to choose to follow the Lord. There was a book come out called The Prayer of Jabez. And a lot of people talked about praying that prayer. It kind of troubled me, because they talked about praying that prayer and having all these blessings come on them, because it became more like a magic formula for blessings than it did the real spirit of what this is all about. And I wanted to kind of balance it today, because I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We know there are people that pray for things for their own self-indulgence, their own self-exaltation, their own selfish reasons. And there's a scripture about disqualifying prayer. And I just want to let you understand, when we talk about blessings, if it's for the wrong reason, we can have the right scriptures and promises, but we can want them for the wrong reason. If we want it for the wrong reason, then the Bible said in the book of James, number one, before we read this scripture, number one, you have not because you ask not. God is not your source. You don't look to God. I don't look to God as my source. Therefore, I don't make him my source. I don't go to him initially. Some people go to God when everything else fails. You know, it's kind of easy then to kind of say, well, you know, I went to many hospital rooms and prayed for people that really were not looking to God as their source, and I found out I couldn't make them make God their source, and I would go in and say, would you like me to pray for you? And they'd say, go ahead, it couldn't hurt. And at that point, I really didn't feel like praying, because I knew they were just kind of, you know, just kind of grabbing at a straw. I mean, you know, I'm not really making God my source. I'm not really standing in any kind of personal faith in him. But hey, you know, why? I mean, you're here, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. Go ahead and pray your best prayer. Well, I couldn't even pray in confidence, because that kind of attitude, you know, there's no faith in it on their part. Jesus was the greatest man of faith on the earth when he became flesh. But he wouldn't work in anybody's life unless they believed. He would actually require faith from them before he would do anything. Blind man asked to be healed. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this thing? Amen. He said, yes, I believe, Lord. He said, then be it unto thee according to thy faith. He required that. Faith, unbelief, literally refusing to believe or to acknowledge God or make him your source, it dishonors God. Whereas faith, making him your source and looking to him and trusting in him, honors him. Amen. He's a faithful God. He's presented himself as a faithful God. Historically, down through the scriptures, we have a record of his faithfulness to his people. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter, but literally in every circle of Christian community, Hebrews 11 is all about people who believe God and God answers. But it's not just the faith chapter, it's the faithfulness chapter. Yes. Because in Hebrews 11, you don't just see the faith of people who trusted God. You see the faithfulness of God to the people who trusted him. Can you say amen? Through faith, Sarah, in Hebrews 11, Sarah received strength to bring forth a child being past the age of childbearing. If you want to know how that worked out chronologically, back in the Old Testament, amen, this promise to give Abraham a son through whom his seed would be blessed. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. And I don't believe they put on that country music song that said the pity, pity patter of little bitty feet's going to pity, pity patter at our house. Amen? I don't think they were looking for little feet to pity, pity patter. Amen? Amen. Really? I mean, I don't know a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old. I've never seen a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old down in the baby section of Toys R Us picking up all that baby stuff for themselves. Amen. Maybe for their great-grandchildren, but not for themselves. I've got great-grandchildren. My children are raised. That don't mean they're gone. I thought You know, when does it get to be our turn, guys? I don't know when it's my turn. Amen. But I got one son living in a garage apartment, another son living at my dad's, and they both look to me for so much, and my wife. But they're good guys, and I love them both dearly. I got grandchildren that are grown. I got great-grandchildren, and I'm nowhere near 90. Amen? Or 100 like Abraham. But if I was 100, if I lived to be 100, and I had great, my great-grandchildren had children, and my wife was 90, last thing on my mind would be an ancient promise of God to give us kids and to bless through them. Amen? It would kind of be, that's why when Sarah heard it, she just laughed about it. She just laughed. She just laughed out loud. Amen, because it was laughable that a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman are going to have a child, and God is going to keep that promise at this late date. Amen. But and her first child, by the way, was named Laughter. And the laughter wasn't good laughter. When they laughed because of the extraordinary circumstances of their life and this extraordinary promise of God and waiting this long, and God said, now I'm going to do it. Everybody say it's never too late. Well, if there's ever a situation that proves that, that was the situation. Can you say amen? And the angels were not amused by her laughter. They were dead serious about God's promises and carrying them out. They were on their way to bring judgment, amen, but they dropped off to let them know it's time for your blessing. Can you say amen? While on their way to bring judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah, they stopped by also, amen, to let them know it's time for this blessing in your life to occur. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, which is not just about the faith of people, but the faithfulness of God to his people. Can you say amen? Everybody say the faithfulness chapter. I want you to understand this is not just the faith chapter. This is the faithfulness chapter. Amen. Through faith, Sarah, being past the age of childbearing, received strength to conceive and bring forth a son because she considered him faithful that promised. Can you say amen? That he was able to bring to pass what he had promised, which means faithful and able. Amen. Listen to this. This is so important. I'm going to read you the prayer of Jabez. And I'm going to title this an ancient plea for extravagant blessings. Say it with me, an ancient plea for extravagant blessings. Now, let's go back to the book of James just a minute. I'm going to read this. I promise you I'm going to read this. The book of James said, you have because not because you ask not. Primary reason people don't receive is because God is a last resort and not their first thought when there's a need in their life. I believe in the medical profession, personally. I'm glad there's good doctors out there. I was healed of cancer. I had a good doctor. His name was Dr. Paul Minthorn. Amen. When I was 8, going on 9 years of age, I had a good medical doctor. And I was diagnosed with leukemia. And they thought they were treating me for anemia. But as they went into further exploration of my blood and everything, they found the cells that indicated I had leukemia. And we had no insurance. I come from a very, very poor family. We just lived week to week. We lived in a little Jim Walter home that had been built on a piece of property that had been acquired. That home was never finished before my dad and mother divorced. We had a shower curtain up where a partition was for a bathroom. We didn't have indoor facilities yet when we lived in that house. We had a house behind the house, but it was a two-seater, and I was proud of it. I didn't know anybody else that had a two-seater. In fact, I didn't know anybody else that wanted to sit in there at the same time. Can you say amen? So it really didn't do us any good. I never wanted to go in there at the same time. Amen. That's where I come from. Amen. I thought, you know, my dad was really, we're going to have a nice bathroom, only the best for my family. We're getting a two-seater so you don't have to wait. I thought, I'm waiting anyway. Can you say, man? It's just some things, you know, you like your privacy. Anyway, we had the whole thing, Sears catalog, the whole 9 yards. We had it all. I thought I was uptown, but we lived in that little house when I was diagnosed with leukemia. And I remember the tiredness and the weakness and all of those things. And I remember the night that I was brought for prayer. And I remember when God healed me. First time I ever experienced the presence of God in my life, because I stood in one of those healing lines. And this wasn't some great evangelist that was known worldwide and all of that. There wasn't televised. The only person on television was Jack Coe and Oral Roberts. And that's all I knew that I had ever seen televised. But I just believed everything I'd heard about Jesus. I was just a little boy and I didn't know how sick I was. I just knew I had to lay on the couch all day long. But I remember when they took me forward for prayer, beginning to feel the presence of God in my feet, a tingling feeling in my feet. Closer I got in that prayer line, I felt it come up like to my knees. And then I felt it come up to my chest. And then as I stood to be prayed for, I felt it just tingling all over me, a supernatural sense of the presence of God that just made me tingle all over. Amen. It was just such an anointing there. And you know, Pentecostals have been accused of so many things because, listen, when the power of God comes on you so mightily that you can't contain it when your cup runneth over, so to speak. People react emotionally to a spiritual reality, but we're reacting emotionally. And all the other people see who are not experiencing that is our emotion. And they think that we've went off the deep end, or we're just emotionalism. Some has went so far as to call it of the devil, and just be assured, amen, that if I get emotional today, I promise not to get any more emotional than one of those fans down at the wrestling match. Okay, have anybody seen those fans? I used to go to the sportatorium with a guy. I'm going to get this red, but I used to go to the sportatorium with a guy that I worked with back when I was BC, before I became a Christian. We'd go down to the sportatorium with Gordon Soley, and he would call the wrestling matches. You know, Bedlam has broken loose. That's what we loved to hear, because we knew somebody was going to get hit and maybe some blood was going to fly. So you know what you go for. Amen. Yeah, really. That's wrong. Alice, come on. This is a wrestling match. Where you been living? You've been living a sheltered life, girl. Amen. This is a wrestling match. Amen. Like a hockey game. Hockey game ain't a hockey game until somebody hits somebody in the face. Amen. That's just part of the game. That's why they're all snaggletooth. Dennis loved hockey players because they get to build all those bridges for them and everything. Amen. To give them their teeth back. Anyway, we used to go down, and he would just jump up, just jump clean out of his seat like he's going to jump in the ring when the bad guy would do something bad to the good guy, illegal, and the referee didn't see it. He would scream until he was hoarse. I remember those days. I remember when that used to happen when back at the old Holy Church of God, I would go into a 7-Eleven on Sunday, on Monday morning, and get a big gulp. Or in the afternoon to get a big gulp, I'd go into a 7-Eleven store and they would have in the wrestling matches somewhere in the area. They used to have them monthly in the Tampa area. And I would go in and I was from worshiping, preaching, praising God. I'd go in and I have this kind of, you know, this voice like this. And I went in and I said, could I have would you like anything else? I said, no, thank you, that's all. And the lady behind the counter says, I know where you were last night. And I said, you do? And she said, I sure do. Says, you were at the wrestling match, wasn't you? Because everybody hollered themselves hoarse at the wrestling match. And oh, she was, you know, thought she had met another wrestling fan. And I said, no, I got this at church. When I told her I got it at church, honey, it got cold in the summertime. And it's, oh, my Lord, he's one of those. Can you say, man, he's one of them. If I was one of those wild-eyed wrestling fans, I'd be just accepted because everybody understands why I got emotional last night. I mean, Hulk Hogan just about got beat by Andre the Giant and picked him up and pile-drived him at the end. You know why I'm hoarse on Sunday morning. Can you say, man, on Monday morning? But if I got hoarse in church, well, that's a whole different thing. That means you're one of those emotional people. Amen. If the Bucks ever win the Super Bowl again, ever, and it's played here, and I got to go, or you got to go, or the fans, the Buck fans, got out there in the stadium, and they really got excited, and they really began to holler themselves hoarse, nobody is going to accuse them of emotionalism, because it's the proper reaction to a Super Bowl win. In fact, you wouldn't be a fan if you didn't get excited and do something extraordinary. Yeah. See, what really gets me is these people sit in church and say, I'm not emotional. Don't ever cut them off in traffic. on U.S. 19. Can you say amen? You will find out they do have emotions, can you say? Don't ever sit at a stoplight too long talking on your cell phone and don't notice the light changing there behind you. They will get emotional. They might give you the California wave. And don't ask me about to tell you what that is. We all know what that is, amen? We learned that from the Beverly Hillbillies, yeah, amen. God wants his people to get the joy of his salvation back. God wants his people to be blessed of the Lord. God wants his people. The Bible literally said the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. And when people think of rich, they think about the amount of possessions they possess. But what makes you rich is the blessing. See, the blessing of the Lord on a meal barrel that's almost empty keeps it from going empty. Let me tell you something about a full meal barrel. A full meal barrel can go empty. But a blessed meal barrel, though it's almost empty, can't go empty. You can empty the full one. 3 years of famine, one full meal barrel is not going to take you through it, but one blessed one will. I have never, in all of these years, had a bank account that represented a full meal barrel. How about you? Some of you have. Could we receive a second offering, please? Amen. I have never, never had a full meal barrel, but I've always had my needs met. Amen. Amen. Always had my needs met. And I'm not going to be nonchalant about that. There's going to be times in the service that I get really excited about what the Lord has done in my life. Amen. It's his favor, the blessing of the Lord, his favor, when God favors you and blesses you. Can you say amen? The blessing itself, the blessor himself, amen, for whatever the result of that is in the material and physical sense, it starts with the spiritual reality that you are in fellowship with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and his blessings are resting upon you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me clarify to you that God indeed wants to bless us, but he wants to bless us to be a blessing. Can you say amen? To bless us to be a blessing. So the Bible said we have not because we ask not. We ask and receive not. Now we've made God our source. We're standing in faith. But we're not receiving because we ask amiss to consume it on ourselves. It's a disqualifying factor to even great faith. Faith is not, doesn't single-handedly reach out in the invisible and grab anything you want for any reason you want it and make it manifest. That is not. It's been implied that that's how faith works. That is not how faith works. When you ask amiss for a selfish reason, no matter how much faith in the Word or confessing the Word or standing on the Word, to obtain the blessing of the Lord, you have to yield yourself to him. The Lord's Prayer is so enlightening to me because it begins with our Father which art in heaven. He's our source. We look to him exclusively. He loves us with a paternal love. He cares for us, protects us, provides for us. We acknowledge we have a Father in heaven, not just a force. Can you say amen? And the next thing we do is we worship him because he's holy. And we say, hallowed be thy name. One writer said he may be your father, but he's not your old man. Amen. There is a familiarity and intimacy, but it's with a holy God. He never ceases to be holy because he invites us behind the veil. Amen. And we need to reverence him. Hallowed be thy name. And the next thing out of our mouth is thy kingdom come. And that means the rule and the domain of a king. And it means one of the prayer principles is, as my wife said, you know, we can believe, we can push, try to push God. We can do anything out of impatience. But ultimately, we have to wait upon the Lord after we pray. And we have to yield to him. And we have to allow his sovereign plan and purpose be realized in our life. We have to give place for that. And we have to say, not my will, but thine be done on occasion. Can you say amen? In fact, on most occasions.
Yeah.
I've lived long enough, preached long enough, prayed long enough to do as the Garth Brooks song said, to thank God for the prayers that he didn't answer. There were things I asked for looking back on. If I'd got what I wanted God to explode this church right when I was about to have a nervous breakdown. And we had about 100 people, and that was killing me because I hadn't learned the principles of obtaining his peace yet. And I pushed my, I was in radio ministry. I did a little bit of television, but radio ministry, constantly radio ministry, missionary ministry, jail ministry, the church ministry, all of the visitation. I was doing it all. A lot of good things, but they were not all God things, and I couldn't distinguish the difference in them. And it broke me, that literally broke me. Pushed me into nervous exhaustion. When I found myself about to have a nervous breakdown and sitting in a doctor's office and him telling me that my organs of my body, including my heart, were like a fuse box that was overloaded and anything could blow at any time, I began to ask myself, how did I, anointed preacher of the gospel, doing all these good things for God, end up like this? You know, and that's when it began to occur to me, all these good things may not just all be God things. Every good thing is not God things. Amen? I wasn't called to the prison ministry. I did it because somebody bailed out and messed up, and we had the assistant warden come in. It was a good thing, and I went and did. And I don't regret doing it, but I was trying to do too many things. And God had called me to the one thing I was called to do, and that's pastor the church. Amen? And I was trying to be pastor, evangelist, radio minister, everything. Because I was free from my job now, I could give myself totally. I had a zeal, but I didn't have the wisdom to go with it. Amen. I didn't want these things for me. I wanted it for him. But he let me know that he'll tell me what he wants me to do for him. That's not for me to tell him what I'm going to do for him. It's for him to tell me what he wants me to do for him. And I had to begin to back up and reassess, and I've learned a thing or three after all of that time. Can you say, man, God has been good to me. Yes. He brought me through out of the... Every time I read where he delivered David from the horrible pit, I see where God has brought me through. Amen. Because the doctor sat there and said, I can put you on some high potency drugs or we can pray. Last person he saw before going into African inland missions was me. What a sweet, tender, kind, Jesus kind of guy that I got to see from my doctor. Amen. Never seen him before, hadn't seen him since. I guess he's still in Africa, as far as I know. Don't know if he's living or with the Lord, but I know that I was his last patient before going and give the rest of his life to missionary work as a medical missionary in through African inland missions in Africa. And he prayed with me for God's peace to come. He prayed with me to, and you know, I thought, boy, that's going to be a boom thing, just like that. And then I'm going to be well again. I can go back and do all these things that I was doing that put me in the place and the circumstance, and God just simply didn't do it that way. I went through several years of progressively getting better, but having setbacks all along the way to be where I am right now. And God brought me to this point in time and taught me what he taught me, the principles he taught me about prayer and faith. And my wife is talking about peace. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have that deep, settled peace within than the best Pentecostal shout that you could give me today. And don't get me wrong. I love a wonderful Pentecostal shouting presence of God, that emotional reaction to a spiritual reality. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'd make no apology for getting excited about Jesus. When I was a wrestling fan, I made no apology about getting excited over that. And no good football fans going, you're cheeseheads, for heaven's sakes. Do you know how cold it is in Wisconsin? You know how cold it is with a wind chill factor? You know where they are? Because they're fanatics. That's what fan means. It's a shortened form of fanatic. Every time anybody gets excited about Jesus like I get sometimes, I'm called a fanatic. Amen. But you can get excited over football and you're a fan. That means you're a dedicated follower of the team. Well, I'm a dedicated follower of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So sometimes I get emotional. And here he is taking his coat off, and everybody says, there goes the time. Amen. No, I just want to be comfortable as we finish this message today. I don't want to miss the blessing. I want to be blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't want tangent stuff that's taken the blessings just for selfish gain to take us away from the blessing altogether. Sometimes we hesitate to preach blessing because we're afraid we're going to be identified with people that are using it for selfish gain. Listen, we need the blessing. You can't be a blessing without the blessing. If my needs aren't met and I'm worried all the time, amen, I can't really minister effectively because of other things entering in is choking the word in my life. I have to have a God who meets my needs, who cares for me, amen, who gives me strength, who gives me his joy, amen, who blesses what I put my hand to. That's why at the job for 12 years, God made it possible for a man that started back in the physical workforce at 50 years of age, having preached for 25 years. Honey, when you preach for 25 years, you're not ready to stack ice cream for 8 hours. Amen. They didn't put me on a machine to operate it to begin with. They put me at the end of a conveyor belt. And my wife and my mother and my dad and everybody told me, pace yourself. Take it easy. Well, the conveyor belt don't care. It's coming. You keep up with it or it's going on the floor. And I found myself talking in tongues, praying in other tongues for strength. Amen. They didn't know what I was doing. I guess they thought that I was getting lightheaded. Amen. But I would stack a while and pray a while, stack and pray, stack and pray. I finally got through the 8 hours, said, thank you, Jesus. I went home and laid down in the floor. I didn't lay down on the couch, didn't lay down on the bed. I come through the front door. I plopped in the floor. Number one, because my back was killing me. Number two, because I wanted Pamela's sympathy. When your back's killing you, it's good to have somebody's sympathy. It does help the pain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I told her, honey, we made it. Me and Jesus, we made it through the day. One day at a time, I learned that song by heart. Sweet Jesus. I sung it for 12 years. Praise God. And God was with me. And God gave me a testimony, became a witness. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the joy of the Lord would come right in the middle of my fatigue. Amen. And I would just, I don't know, I would get a burst of energy in my body, literally my physical body, I'd get a burst of energy. And those people couldn't get over it. This middle-aged guy that's out here, that's out working this 27-year-old man, praise God. Amen. But God blessed me those years, and he's blessing me now, and I'm expecting blessing in the future. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm looking for the blessing of the Lord because I want to be a blessing, and I want people to know something. Our God is indeed a good God, and he is a great God, and serving him, I don't expect to be, amen, driving Rolls Royces. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that his blessing is representative upon his people. He marked them with blessing. He set them apart for blessing. In his covenant, there is a blessing, can you say amen, for his people. And people have taken it for selfish gain and selfish reasons and disqualified themselves from the true blessing of the Lord. But the blessing, the qualified, bona fide, true favor with God, it maketh rich, not just in the material, but in the fact that we have that kind of standing with him. Hallelujah. And he adds no sorrow with it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength today. And he hath given us all things richly to enjoy. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. It's being able to enjoy what you have that makes you truly rich. Can you say amen? Some people can't enjoy what they have because they're looking at what somebody else has got. You can't enjoy the house you're in because you drove through that gated community. And by the way, you're going to live in a gated community throughout all eternity. Amen. One day you're going to live. If you don't now, you're going to. Can you say amen? But how many know a house is not a home? All right. Without the love of God there and love for one another. You can have the best house in the world. Amen. But if you don't have the love of God there, you don't have a home. I was down in Haiti, saw little houses that I can't imagine anybody living in. But people who lived in it, who loved God and loved each other, they were so happy, so fulfilled, so sweet, and so giving because they considered themselves blessed. They looked at what they had as a blessing, and they were thanking God for it. And I thought, there's so many people with so much more that don't see the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Anyway, that's another story. I'm glad I went. Glad I'm back. Hallelujah, but I'm glad I went. God is good, and he is sweet to his people. And he wants to bless us. Blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to read this as we hurry and try to close. But there's much more to this. It's an ancient plea for extravagant blessings. But it was to honor God, to bring glory to God, to be distinguished as covenant people. And this man who is asking for this blessing especially wants it to be evidenced upon his life, because there's something in his life that marked him as a complete failure and loser for all of his life. Something in his past put him on a path to defeat and depression for his whole life. I want you to listen to this very carefully. And I want you to know, if something has put you on that path, God wants to turn it around for his great name's sake. He turned this curse of sickness in my life to a blessing and a testimony. And it's still ongoing today. And I hope it's an encouragement to anybody that faces those kind of giants, that even those great giants can fall. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible said in verse 9, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez." Now, there's a little reference thing here in most Bibles. If you follow that reference up, the name Jabez means pain. Say it with me, pain. This man praying for blessing has a heritage. Something so negative happened. Remember when a child was born while Israel was losing the ark to the Philistines? The compromised priest fell and broke his neck. His two sons were killed in battle. There's a great slaughter of the Jewish people, and the ark itself was taken by the Philistines. And the daughter-in-law of one of the sons, when they saw all of this, the bitterness and the defeat of it all, she had a child. She went into premature labor, had a child, and called the name of that child Ichabod, which meant the Spirit of God has departed. So they didn't just pick cute little names, but the name for a child was placed on them according to the circumstance and situation. We're not given the total circumstance or situation Jabez was born in, but it was such a negative situation that he was named Pain. Everybody say pain. Amen. You think of Jabez being such a blessed man, you don't think of where he came from and the circumstances surrounding his life, but his name was Pain. And honey, I'm going to tell you something about living in a fallen world. Every one of us are going to experience some painful circumstances in our life. Many of us in this room have a lot. Our past, if we were named according to our past, and it would be pain, brokenness, bitterness, something that causes us pain. And people that have come through pain seem to be on a track for depression and defeat their whole life if they have a painful past, because many people can't get past their past. I believe one of the reasons Jabez, as a covenant child of God, prayed to be blessed and to be a blessing is because he had put his hope and his trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he wanted to show that no matter what you had in your past, when you come to God and you make him your source and you trust him for the right reasons, God will bless you in spite of your past. Somebody, this is far better than a magic little prayer to get you stuff. This means that God can take you from your pain to his blessings, praise God. He can give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the depression, the spirit of heaviness, and establish you that way and cause you to be called the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness. Jabez wants to see this happen. And God wants it to happen because it's a testimony to what God can do no matter what has happened in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They called his name Jabez, pain, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Isn't it amazing? This prayer was prayed by a man who had come out of a negative, negative, negative beginning. The prayer of Jabez is not a magic formula that when recited will someday result or suddenly result in blessing. There are sound biblical principles within it that once established believers can claim, but it's not a magic formula for getting stuff. In fact, it's really indicative of the gracious, great, mighty, loving God that we have that can take us from pain to pleasure, amen, from defeat to delight. Can you say amen? That no matter, listen, if you keep blaming your past for whatever has happened now, for your depression, for whatever it is, the painful events in your life, listen, God wants to bless you. He can't bless you if you keep dwelling on the pain instead of the God who has called you to get past your past. Listen, you may feel like you're in that horrible pit of depression and that you're the only one going through all the stuff. And you may think the brokenness is unhealable. Now, I want you to know something about God. God knows how to, like a mosaic, He can take a shattered heart and a shattered life. Amen. And like a mosaic, He can take all the pieces and make something beautiful. Amen. He doesn't need a fountain. He doesn't need anything to work with except your willingness for Him to work and your trust in Him to do it. Can you say amen? The Bible said He'll give you beauty for ashes. Ashes represent complete ruin. There's nothing left when you go and you find nothing but ashes. My uncle was retired from the fire department in Middlesboro, Kentucky as a captain in the fire department. 5'2". And he's a captain. That's a small town. He couldn't be here. He put him on the end of a hose. Somebody better jump on it with him or that hose would take him all over the place. And you know what they had? They had a thing they always said. It was an inside joke with all the firemen. And that's you've been to Middlesboro. You know where that is. That's my hometown, boy. Yeah, he'd been there. He had to see my hometown. No, he just on his way somewhere. He didn't know I'd ever been born there until he got there and saw the big thing they erected in the town square. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Amen. But they had an inside thing with the fire department and said we'd never lost a lot. We've never lost a lot. In other words, the house burns down, but we always save the lot. Yeah, we saved the lot. Inside joke, fire department. Great guys to call out. Amen. They used to bust down doors just to get out a little bitty stove fire, and they'd hit it with that axe, tear the door all to pieces, and go in there and, you know, throw got a little grease fire on the stove, put it out. Anyway, it was just, he told me some wonderful stories about the firemen. I just picture those guys from those old black and white movies, you know, the Keystone firemen or something. God said, if it's ashes, there's not even a foundation left. There's no hope. I'll give you beauty for ashes. And because He does that, that mourning, that hopelessness, I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning because I'll give you beauty for ashes. It's progressive. Then the oil of joy for mourning. And then I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the depression, the spirit of heaviness. The despair is gone. The depression is gone. The joy, the praise has replaced it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He what? Addeth no sorrow with it. Wherever this guy was coming from, he was named pain. He was born in great sorrow. Can you say amen? Could have been the pain of a terrible labor or childbirth. Whatever it was, he was labeled for life because of the sorrow he brought when he came into this world, or the sorrow that was going on when he was born. 30 years of age, when they said, Jabez, everyone heard pain. That's worse than a boy named Sue. Can you say amen? I mean, seriously. How would you like it if somebody said, pain? Every time they see him, they say, pain. I mean, people kind of get the idea he's a real pain. Can you say amen? After a while, let's stay away from that guy. You see? Jabez. See, we think that he was just a great faith man that prayed this great faith formula prayer and got all these answers. No, he was a man that knew a life that was started in sorrow and pain. And he said, Lord, you can turn this around. I can't change what has happened. I can't change my past. I can't change my name. In that day, you were stuck with it. Can you say amen? But one thing I can change is my circumstance. Because I can trust you with it and you can change it, praise God. So I want you to bless me. It'll be a greater blessing to you, Lord, when people see the man that's least likely blessed. See me come out of this, praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you have known brokenness in your life and your heart, and you know what pain is all about, that ache in the heart. God wants to bless you with a double portion and enlarge you, praise God, and make you a blessing. And whoever or whatever has hurt you, if you want to make the devil mad and your enemies go drive them crazy, get the blessing of the Lord in spite of everything they intended to hurt you with. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let them find you dancing and shouting and praising God. And everything they hear about you is about the fullness of God in your life. Hallelujah. That's how I handle my enemies. I have a lot of critics. And they love to jump on me. I don't know why. We must have some kind of potential for God. Maybe the radio broadcast, I don't know what all it is, but there's some reason that the devil just seems like he singles me out for hopping on constantly. The only way I can combat him is not just by rebuking him, but determining to obtain the favor of the Lord in spite of it all.
That's right.
Amen? Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. The Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And I'm not just talking about the material. See, the material is really the peripheral. It's secondary. It exists. God wants to meet our needs, but it's secondary. If you don't have peace, it don't matter what else God gives you. When I was going through nervous exhaustion, we had the finances and the time. I was in full-time ministry. And we could actually rent a car if we wanted to and take a trip. We took a trip to the beach, went into condominium had two bedrooms, everything had a balcony to cook on. It was right on the ocean. It was as cheap to rent a condominium for a week as it was to rent a motel on the beach by the day. There we were in St. Augustine Beach after the weekend. Monday come, only the people walking their dogs. You just had it to yourself, kind of. And we were there, and I'm going through nervous exhaustion. I'm filled with all kinds of physical problems and couldn't enjoy my food. I won't go into the graphic details, but I'm going to tell you, we spent a week on the beach, and I didn't walk on it one time. We spent a week on the beach, and I had no joy out of being there. We spent a week on the beach, I'm fighting for survival, feeling like, and every time we would travel anywhere from there, we went from there to the mountains one time, and traveling to the mountains, to these beautiful, Great Smoky Mountain National Park, traveling in that tranquil, beautiful, but going through nervous exhaustion. I was looking everywhere one of those little hospital signs was. I would mark it in my mind. If I get on down the road and this heaviness in my chest keeps getting stronger, my heart keeps beating harder, and I'm finding it hard to breathe, I can always tell Pamela, go back. There was a hospital sign back there. We can get to that emergency room. And you're riding along in the mountains thinking about dying. Amen. You're not having fun. There's no fun in that. And all of that began with the pain in my heart from a broken heart and things in ministry that happened that I didn't know how to give to God. And I could preach under the anointing and look like I was physically fit, going to the gym, bench pressing over 300 pounds. So everybody thought, he don't need nothing. And I was in pain. I know what Jabez represents. I know what a broken heart. You can't enjoy a barbecue because there's something gnawing on the inside that's not been resolved. God had to take me through a valley, but I've met the God of the valleys.
Oh, yes.
And I don't want to ever go through that again. Amen. But I'll tell you something. I wouldn't take anything for what I found out about God in that deep,
Amen.
Dark valley.
Amen.
Amen. I found out that it wasn't just based on my faith. All these great victories, it was his faithfulness. Can you say amen? I found out, my brother, it wasn't my grip on God that was keeping me. It was his mighty grip on me. Can you say amen? And I found out that this mighty God, amen, hallelujah, I had his hand, his grip of his hand, because, amen, he was gripped with love for me in his heart. Hallelujah. And I found out when I am weak, and find out what I found out about him and put my trust exclusively in him, then am I made strong. And Brother Willie, you know what I'm talking about. We can come out of pain into pleasure, and we can come out of defeat into delight and depression into delight. God can bring us through these things, and he wants to do it, and he wants to mark his people with his blessing.
Yes,
he does. Hallelujah. He always did. He always did. J. Just as the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament is not just words to recite, but rather principles to be applied and obeyed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done is bowing to the sovereign authority of our Father God and the Lordship of Christ. I got to hurry and close. I want to read one thing from a commentary. I'm going to read you the setting. Will Pounds really puts this in proper perspective. He said the context of this prayer is Israel going in and taking possession of the promised land of Canaan. God has promised his people an inheritance in Canaan. But his people could not drive out the inhabitants of the land in their own strength. It was beyond them. They were not a war machine marching in to conquer, but a multitude of second generation slaves who were incapable on their own to possess the land. Only God could do it in and through them. Jabez was acutely aware of his own insufficiency. And he prayed out to God in a sentence prayer for help. He begged God for his supernatural blessing. He boldly asked God to enlarge his inheritance in the promised land. Jabez was named by his mother. We know nothing of the father. Perhaps he had died before the birth of Jabez. Something happened at the time of his birth to cause her grave pain. It may have been an unusually painful delivery or something happened in the family, but something had caused her great sorrow. She called him Jabez because I bore him in pain. It could be literally he causes or will cause pain. It was some form of unusual pains or travail. The only problem is Mama branded the poor boy with the name Pain for the rest of his life. And this man with this background, he said, bless me.
Hallelujah. My Lord, yes.
When you bless me, God, that everybody knows is pain, depression, hopelessness, helplessness. When you bless me extravagantly, it'll bring honor to you. Because no one will attribute that blessing to me. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God blesses us to reach nations, and he's doing it right now through this little ministry in this little humble city, somebody's going to fly here from some other state that listens to our radio broadcast, expecting a church of 1,000 people. They're going to stop at that first church down there, number one, and there's already been some people did that, and they're going to say, no, this ain't it. Go down the road. And then they're going to stop at that one over there, and they're going to say, no, we're really not it. Amen. And send them to go on down the road. And they're still not going to come down the road. They're going to look at that big building over there, and they're going to go knocking on that door. Amen. This big building nobody's using, that may become ours one day. Could be. Extravagant blessings. Can you say amen? It's not too great for God to do. Praise the Lord if we don't get discouraged and quit. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Anyway, that's just God. But they're going to end up here. And you know what they're going to walk in and see? Jabez. Jabez. In the flesh. He's been through pain. Hey, it's no secret. I've been through it. But God went through it with me, praise God. And I want the whole world to know that every blessing he gives me, he brings double honor to him. Because I'm not a big preacher with a big ministry and big anything. But I got a big God who's been awful good to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And I want to be a blessing. My house will do me till Jesus comes. You say it must be a big one. You ought to come see it. You get me and Pamela and Matthew and the dogs in there, we take up everything there is, praise God. You come, we'll throw a beanbag on the floor for you. But God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody may fly in from the UK one day. Amen? That could happen. Wouldn't that be amazing? Say, I got to go to that church. I'm going to America anyway. I'm going to drop by that church while I'm in America and come all the way down here. And you know what that's going to happen? They're going to stop at that one up there first. Amen. They're going to be questioning their TomTom or their, what is that, their GPS. GPS, they're going to pull in that church, and that GPS is going to say, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. That thing will talk with you. and talk back to it, it'll still tell you to turn around. Amen. And here's what he prayed in closing. Jabez prayed a one-sentence prayer, and God used him mightily. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not hurt me," literally, "that it may not pain me." It's almost like he was marked for the rest of his life to live his life in pain. He said, "Lord, keep me from that. Change my life. Turn me around. Mark me with your blessing." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word "bless" in the Old Testament means to endue with power for success, prosperity, longevity, etc. Blessing. The opposite would be to esteem lightly or to curse. It's clear that for the Old Testament, the abundant life rests directly upon the loving and faithful nature of God. God is the only source of these blessings, and he does not have to be cajoled to give his blessings to all who trust him. Ezekiel 34:26 says, "I will make them," that's his chosen people, which we are now, "I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season, and they will be showers of blessing." Can you say amen? Brother, would you come and would you please let us close with "Let It Rain"? Amen. Praise God. Everybody say, "Let it rain." Let it rain. Let it rain. What I'm saying this morning, I don't know the pain that you have faced or are facing, but I know the God that Jabez prayed to. Amen. And I know that when in pain, it's easy to become discouraged, to fall into despair, to give up on God and life and just pull back. Amen? But the challenge from the Lord today is that I can give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And no matter what the pain is, I can turn it to pleasure. No matter how deep the despair is, I can change it to delight. And it all begins with my blessing. So it's not wrong to ask him, "Bless me with this blessing, Lord, that I might be a blessing." Because you know what? People that have come through that kind of pain and obtained the blessing of the Lord, they're the ones that God is going to use to go to other people going through the same pains. Because they have been there, God has brought them through, and they can be an encourager. David said, "That's exactly how it's going to work in my life. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. The humble, and put a song in my heart. Changed my mourning to dancing." Can you say amen? Yes. He put a song in my heart. Listen to this. "The humble shall hear thereof." And not humble in the good sense, the positive sense. This word "humble" in the Hebrew means the crushed. People who have been crushed by life. The crushed by life are going to hear what God has done for David. Hallelujah. What God brought him through, what he saved him from. Amen. And they're going to see the blessing of the Lord resting on me in spite of he prepared me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Isn't that the blessing of the Lord? A table in the presence of mine enemies. My enemies want to destroy me. God wants to bless me. Guess who's going to win?
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, "God's going to win." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. "Thou preparest me a table in the presence of mine enemies, but they won't be able to harm me because your blessing overrides, your blessing trumps their cursing." Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your enemy wants to destroy you, but Christ said, "I prayed for you that your faith fail not." And when you are converted, do what? Strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. It's not going to just affect you. Victory is not just going to affect you. It's going to affect other people. My victory will affect other people. My defeat will affect them as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "I will cause showers to come down in their season, and they will be showers of blessing." In an agriculturally based economy of that day, these are going to be showers that don't wash away, not gully washers that wash away the topsoil, but those deep, saturating rains that cause a bumper crop to be harvested. there are going to be showers of blessing. I'll open the windows of heaven, agricultural promise again, pour you out a blessing, open the heavens and let the rains come, that there be not room enough to contain it when that crop comes in. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'll cause the... As it is written, in order to restore what the enemy has taken, restore unto thee, saith God. I will cause the former and the latter rain to come in a season, saith God, that you may be blessed abundantly and be an abundant blessing to others, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Are you glad we stayed and took a little extra time to get ourselves positioned and postured for this blessing? How many would open your heart to the spiritual move of God? Amen. And then all of the benefits of that blessing. How many are open for that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many is ready to have your name changed from Jabez, which means pain, to something like Joshua? Hallelujah. Which means a Savior, deliverer, somebody that can help other people. Can you say amen? From helpless to helpful. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. From hateful to hopeful. Praise the Lord. From bitter to better. Hallelujah. And it all determines and pivots on whether or not we will look to the Lord and let him bring us through and bring us out and establish us. I believe God is going to do some life-changing things. That's not holy hype on Sunday morning. This is coming from a man who's been in the deep, dark valleys. Amen. That God has brought through those valleys and established me. I'm 62 years old. And I can say with David, in these fearful, troubled times and economic conditions, I was young and now I'm old. I have to acknowledge that. AARP sends me stuff all the time. I'm on Social Security. I can't hold out. I know 60 is the new 40. I'm sorry, but amen. I've lived long enough. I've got a lot of living in the years I've lived. I'm young and now I'm older. Amen. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Somehow, some way, God will, if we don't give up on God, God will not fail us. No doubt about it. And I've never seen his seed begging for bread. Can you say amen? Somehow, God is going to make a way for you. Somehow, God has always made a way for me. We've got a little stone out there and it's got a little plaque on it that says Ebenezer. And after a great victory that God had given Israel, and they had a history of victorious living before the Lord, God rising up. That little sign, Ebenezer, means up until this time, the Lord has been our help. In other words, whatever the future holds, we're going to go back to this monument we erected with this name, Ebenezer, on it, which means the Lord is our help. And until now, he's never failed us. And that gives us courage for whatever we face in the future. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's faithful. I promised ancient Israel, the covenant people, that I would uphold them with the right hand of my righteousness. And that is why they prevailed and did not fail, saith the Lord. You are spiritual Israel, and you are covenant people as well. And the same promise is yours in me, saith the Lord. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And I will say unto thee what I said unto them, even though enemies be set for your destruction, fear not. Fear not, fear not, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Let it rain, brother. Let's just give him praise. If you have to go, you may. I'm glad that you came today. If you don't know Jesus, you are so welcome to come forward, or if you need prayer today. How many are glad you came this morning? How many heard something that helped you a little bit today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, gather around my brother today. We're going to pray. Let's let it keep playing. Anemia, don't know where it's coming from. Standing 5 minutes is about all the strength our brother has. I mentioned anemia. I knew where it was coming from. I don't want to even go there and even my thoughts, but I want to tell you one thing. I'm standing today through these services, standing to stack ice cream at 50 when I was working. Amen. God healed me completely from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen. We're in a Pentecostal church. We're accused of a lot of things, but honey, this is where the power of God is free to move. Because we still anoint with oil. We believe James 5:14 is just as valid as John 3:16. John 3:16, we would preach to the lost with absolute confidence, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And if one person came forward and repented of their sin, we would declare that they are saved today. Come on, Willie. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, James 5:14 is from the same book. Can you say amen? This is not the Pentecostal handbook. This is the same Bible that the Baptists read, that the Methodists read, that the Episcopalians read. James 5:14 said, if there's any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because we serve a good and gracious God, great in mercy and great in power. Father, we don't know why the anemia is here. We don't know it, if the doctor would look at the liver or look at the bone marrow or look at the blood itself. We don't know where he would go to try to find. But we know that you know. And Father, we know that, Father, that's all we need to know to look to you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for this man to be gloriously healed today. For his blood count to become normal. For the red blood cells, Lord, to be produced just like you made them to be produced in the marrow of his bone. And Father, for the liver to filter everything in his blood properly, and the heart to pump it properly, and the lungs to fill the blood with good oxygen. Father, to oxygenate his body and give him strength and energy that he might be like Moses. You're not done with this man yet. You're not through with him, Father. When we're done with this, you'll take us to your house in heaven forever, and we'll dwell in your house. But long as we're here, you're with us to help us and to heal us, oh God. And Father, we're praying for that healing to come today in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Take us from pain, Lord, to pleasure, from defeat to delight. In the name of Jesus, heal my brother and bring honor to your name. Bless him to be a blessing, oh God. Let his health spring forth speedily. For we stand here today in your presence. We forgive our enemies, Father. We lay down every painful thing in our past, and we walk away from it, and we walk forward into your blessed future from today forward in the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Yea, kalobohoshata. Be unto us, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician, in Jesus' name. Somebody just give him praise today. Give him praise in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that begin from the beginning. Can leave if you're ready, but I just want to worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he's that kind of God today? This is Afterglow. No one is required to stay. If you have to go, just leave reverently. We're so glad you came. But God is touching someone today. God is touching someone here today.